20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers Nation? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are 8 days away from the NFL draft, in all likelihood, 9 days away from the Packers making their first selection in the 2026 NFL draft. Thank you, as always, for taking some time out of your day and joining me right here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I want to give a huge shout out to Allison and Tim Noss for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Thank you so much for that. I also want to give a shout out to the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide and the Green Bay Draft Guide, which, of course, has been partnering with us here at Pack-A-Day over on PackerReport.com. You can pick that up. Go get both of them. Go support some awesome Packers fans at two awesome sites, PackerReport.com, the Green Bay Draft Guide, and then Cheesehead TV, the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. For today's show, I'm actually going to be using the Green Bay Draft Guide quite a bit, with going over some of the thresholds that Green Bay certainly looks for, usually at corner. So it's super helpful. I use it. I use both of them. I think, again, Cheesehead TV did a great job putting theirs together as well. So this is not an ad. They're not paying me to say this. They're not. I really love and respect the work that both of those guides do. And as a Packers fan, to have dedicated draft guides to us as Packers fans, it's really, really cool. And it's, you know, to get both, is, I think it's around like $20 for both combined. It's super cheap. So go check that out when you have a chance. And again, try to get both of those ahead of the draft so you know everything that you need to know. Of course, we still will have you covered here for all draft stuff as well. Make sure you're checking out Ross Uglum on the Daily Draft. Andrew Mertegs put out some great episodes. We've got the audio podcast where there are new episodes coming out from our great team every single day as well, covering all things draft. So we have you covered. Some of these days, we literally have 3-4 episodes a day if you're checking out the audio podcast. So make sure that you're checking that out as well. From an NFL news update, Dexter Lawrence, there's a little bit of an update there. It sounds like there is some hope that this is going to be resolved by draft time. It sounds like there's been some progress made on at least like conversations that have happened between Lawrence and the Giants, but nothing resolved. I kind of think this does end up being a trade, which I actually think is a really bad thing. I don't think the Giants are contenders right now. I think they can be a sneaky team in the East, especially if they still have Dexter Lawrence, and he plays well this season. But I don't think anybody is confusing the Giants for legitimate contenders. And if Lawrence is traded, guess who's going to be trying to acquire Dexter Lawrence? Contenders. Now, hopefully, if that does happen, it happens in the AFC. I guess if we're really hoping, maybe you could say Green Bay gets a bargain and he comes to Green Bay. It sounds like it's going to be an exorbitant cost to get Dexter Lawrence. And I just don't see Green Bay doing that, both from a draft capital standpoint, as well as from a financial standpoint. I would be shocked. I would be very, very shocked. I think it is a far less chance than acquiring Micah Parsons a year ago. And just in large part because they've already done that huge swing with Micah. And meantime, you know, Lawrence could be a fit with the Bears. You know, Lawrence could be a fit with the Eagles. I don't know if they would do the whole Jalen Carter thing, but Lawrence could be a fit with the 49ers. Lawrence could be a fit with the Rams. You don't want to see those things. Send him to Jacksonville maybe or something like that. But if he goes to the AFC, it's probably fine. But if he does get traded as a Packers fan, I think the number one thing you're hoping for is just that it's to an AFC team, or at minimum, not in the division, please, and not to one of the key contenders, 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, anything like that. I think that would be certainly make things much harder for the NFC, that's for sure. So either stay with the Giants or go to the AFC, please, if you're the Giants and trading him away. James Jones, meanwhile, as the Packers kicked off their tailgate tour, James Jones said that Matthew Golden is going to be a superstar. A little pressure on Matthew Golden there from James Jones. I love it. What is he going to say? Yeah, I think the kid's a bum, but you know, cool words from James Jones nonetheless. I've told you guys a ton. Don't sleep on Matthew Golden. I know he's a first round pick. Most of you are not, but it almost does feel like at some point that people are getting a little bit maybe complacent with the Matthew Golden situation, or just maybe not hyped about it. Be hyped. All right. I'm going to put this very, very clearly. Green Bay does not let Romeo Doubs walk and trade Dontayvion Wicks in the same offseason if they don't feel really, really good about Matthew Golden. Because I think we know, I'm sure they like Savion Williams, but he's not there yet. He could get there. Like we said, that's going to open up an opportunity for him, but he's not in that category. And you know that they're going to go a lot of three wide receiver sets. And you also know, you know, Watson and Reed have had injury issues. This is a huge, huge vote of confidence for Matthew Golden. And they saw it like I saw it. I had Matthew Golden graded incredibly high in the snaps that he played a season ago, especially for a rookie, especially for a rookie who didn't get the ball his way very often, especially for a rookie who didn't get the ball his way very often that didn't always get, I think, the routes that benefited him the most. They did, you know, some gadget stuff with him from time to time. As soon as they make him a pure wide receiver, you are going to see him break out in a significant way. I think, again, what Green Bay has done this offseason is a huge vote of confidence in that. James Jones is giving a huge vote of confidence in that. I am telling you, you can have a huge vote of confidence in that. Matthew Golden, I'm not saying superstar. That's probably a level above what I'm willing to say, and certainly not in 2026, but he is going to be a fantastic player, and obviously, certainly James Jones thinks so as well. All right, let's get to the crux of today's show. And today, what we're going to be doing is going over day two cornerbacks. And we're going to be looking at a little bit of a larger view of this cornerback class first. We're about the top 22 guys in this class. And then what we're going to try to do is funnel it and narrow it down. My guess is a lot of you that are listening or watching to this don't have the time, effort, energy, desire to go out and study and or watch 22 different corners to try to figure out, all right, who might Green Bay pick ahead of the draft? Some of you are, and I love you. That's amazing. That's great. Some of you are here to specifically find out this information. Who should I be focusing on in this draft? There are very few, if any, people that I have talked to, listened to, read, saw on message boards, saw on Twitter, saw on social media, and so on and so forth, that don't think that Green Bay should try to acquire a corner on day two of the draft. At worst in round four, but I think a lot of people are really, 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 really hoping that Green Bay, actually a few more reallys in there, hoping that Green Bay can find a stud corner in round two or round three. So today what I'm going to try to do is take those top 22 corners. And I started with Dane Brugler's guy because I think he does such an incredible job of getting people in the right neighborhood, as Daniel Jeremiah would usually say. You know, you might have, you know, there might be some movements, you know, that there, a player could move up a little bit, down a little bit. But I think Brugler does such an amazing job of having players in the same vicinity. Like he might be off by a half a round or, you know, things like that, but he's usually pretty darn good with narrowing it down to right around where players are going to get selected. So today we're going to, again, start with 22 corners, and we're going to try to narrow that down. By the end of today's show, I'm going to get you to two. I'm going to get you to the two most likely corners that I think that Green Bay could take on day two or day three of the draft. But I'm also going to go over about five of the most likely, and we'll go through their scouting reports as well today. So that, again, A, you can maybe narrow it down to those five and maybe do some research ahead of time. And if you're too lazy or just don't want or don't have the time to do that research, well, guess what? I'll give you my scouting notes on those five players today as well. And like I said, by the end of the show, I will narrow it down to the two most likely corners that Green Bay could select on day two of the NFL draft. Now, reminder, Green Bay has pick 52 and 84. Could always move up, could always move back. But as of right now, pick 52 and 84. Those are the picks that we're honing in on today and trying to find what corners could be available and could be likely to be picked by the Packers at those two spots. So here, first of all, are the 22 corners, the top 22 for Dane Brugler. One of them is actually on his safety list. I'm putting him on the corners list. It's not going to matter anyway because Green Bay is not going to take him. We'll go over that momentarily. That player, by the way, is Keyonte Scott. We'll talk about him. All right, number one is Mansoor Delane, the corner out of LSU. Number two is Jermaine McCoy, cornerback out of Tennessee. Both of those are pure first rounders, likely going to be gone in the top 10. The only thing that could stop that is McCoy's injury history. Even then, I don't think we're going to see a Will Johnson-esque fall to like the middle or end of the second round. I think we'll see him get taken at some point late round one, early round two at worst, unless something really catastrophic happens with that knee. But I still think he probably goes first round. And again, I don't think he's going to make it anywhere near to pick 52. And as I always tell you, if somebody tumbles a really long way due to either injury or due to off-field concerns, Green Bay is never the team that stops their fall, right? They're going to be almost more cautious with injury and off-field stuff than just about any other team. So if every other team is passing on an absolute stud player, guess what? Green Bay is probably going to keep that going at least one more spot because they're not going to be the one that stops that fall due to a major injury issue or due to some off-field concerns. But McCoy is too. Those are your two true first-rounders per Dane Brugler. Number three, Chris Johnson, the corner out of San Diego State. Avion Terrell, the corner out of Clemson. And number five is Colton Hood, the corner out of Tennessee. He has first to second round grades on those three players. Number six is D'Angelo Pons, the corner out of Indiana. Number seven is Brandon Sissi, the corner out of South Carolina. Eight is Keontae Scott, the corner safety nickel hybrid out of Miami. Those are his second round grades. Actually, second round grades were Pons and Sissi. Second, third starts with Keontae Scott. And then so is Traydon Stukes, the corner nickel safety out of Arizona. Keith Abney, the corner out of Arizona State. Davison Igbinosin out of Ohio State. Those are his second, third round guys. His lone third round guy is Malik Muhammad out of Texas. His third, fourth round group is Chandler Rivers, the slot out of Duke. Dalen Everett is a third, fourth guy out of Georgia. And then his fourth round guys are Tecario Davis, the corner out of Washington, Julian Neal out of Arkansas, Devin Moore out of Florida. His fourth, fifth round guys are Jaden Kennedy out of Oregon, Ephesians Prysock out of Washington, Latrell McCutcheon Sr. out of Houston. And then his fifth round guys are Charles Demings out of SF Austin and Will Lee, who I know Justice and I had talked about, other people have talked about potentially third round guy. He has him as a fifth rounder overall. So those are the top 22 that we'll be talking about in some capacity today. Now, what I wanted to do is then take that group of 22 and narrow it further. And the best way to do that is utilizing the Green Bay Draft Guide. And they've tracked this for a while. And they have their, what they consider their, it's the threshold, but it's Green Bay's preferences for the position, right? Can they always go outside of it by a little? Yes. There's no stone tablet at 1265 that says thou shalt not take a corner under 190 pounds. And if Goody does, he gets struck down by the lightning of, you know, Vince Lombardi or something. That's not how that works. So they can always go outside of these a little bit, but the tendencies for Green Bay in the Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst era has been a three cone that's under 7 seconds, 190 pounds or heavier, 4.6 or under in the 40-yard dash, so 4.6 would be the very high end. Anything above that's basically a no-go. 5.11 or taller, and an RAS, a relative athletic score, 8 or higher. That has been their general type when it comes to cornerback play. All right? There are three corners on that list of 22 that hit all five of those thresholds. Julian Neal, the corner out of Arkansas, who is 89th on the consensus big board, right around pick 84, right? Ephesians Prysock, 135 on the consensus big board, and Latrell McCutcheon Sr., 284 on the consensus big board. So let's just put it this way. Prysock and McCutcheon Sr., both of those, Green Bay would have to take a pretty big leap of faith. All right, Prysock is 51 spots on the consensus big board past their third round pick. That is a full round and a half after Green Bay's 84th pick. And Latrell McCutcheon Sr., is 200 spots on the consensus big board. Now, there is no such thing as a consensus big board. It's not real. It's not a bunch of people getting in a room and coming to a consensus, right? It's using a bunch of, you know, draft boards that are out there from, you know, I'll say quote unquote experts or experts, you know, however you want to view it. But, you know, the Twitter draft gurus, but also like the Daniel Jeremiahs and the Dane Bruglers and the so on and so forth, right? Like they take all of them and they put them together and they come to a consensus based on where all those boards are. So on that side of things, you know, 284 consensus for McCutcheon, taking him at 84 would be a pretty significant reach. Even for Dane Brugler. If we just go off of Brugler's, he's a fourth, fifth round player, as is Ephesians Prysock. So fourth, fifth, taking them in the third would be a pretty big jump. So Julian Neal is probably the one to sort of keep an eye on. That's 5 out of 5 on the threshold list. There are then a bunch that have 4 out of 5. Colton Hood, who didn't do the three cone. Chris Johnson, who didn't do the three cone, but his short shuttle was awesome. So if you're worried about the agility, he showed it in the short shuttle. I'm not too concerned there with the three cone. Brandon Sissy, who didn't do the three cone, is also technically 189 pounds. I don't think Green Bay, again, is going to draw the line in the sand and say, well, we really like 190. Sorry, Brandon Sissy, we're not going to draft you because you're 189. You know, drink a glass of water or have a, you know, Culver's burger or something, have a Luigi's pizza. You know, you'll get to the 189 if need be. The 190 if need be. So again, didn't do the three cone. That's the only thing missing there. Malik Muhammad, the three cone was good. He's 182 pounds. I think that's going to come out under, you know, really where Green Bay wants it. Like if you look at their corners, the vast majority of their corners, like on their roster, are closer to that 200 mark, right? Not 190, but 200. I think 182 is probably going to be a non-starter there for Green Bay. Keontae Scott didn't do the three cone. Let me just take a quick moment to talk about Keontae Scott. Keontae Scott is one of my favorite players in this draft. He is a safety nickel hybrid that I think is going to live in the nickel. I think he is a DNA changer for your defense. I think he brings a mentality and an effort and an energy and an exciting brand of play. He's a playmaker. He plays the position like a weak side linebacker. Just one of my favorite people in this draft. Green Bay could use some DNA changers on defense, but not at those spots, right? Javon Bullard is doing that in the slot already, and Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney are doing that already at safety. It's just not the pay. If they took him and you wanted to figure it out later, I love him enough that I'd be like, all right, we'll just take an amazing player and we'll figure it out. But I think you'd have to take him in round two. And again, I think that's a little bit rich for what Green Bay is looking for. And it doesn't really solve any of their corner problems at all because you can't play him at outside corner. So and in fact, Brugler didn't even have him at corner. He had him at safety. But I love him. But again, I don't think they're going to go in that direction. Trayden Stukes is basically in the same situation. Nickel, safety, maybe can play a little bit of outside corner too, but I don't think Green Bay is going to see him that way. He's also a little bit overaged. And you have Devin Moore, who didn't do the three cone. Dalen Everett, who didn't do the three cone. Will Lee didn't do the three cone, also technically 189, but we can bump it up to 190. Takario Davis, guess what he didn't do? The three cone. And then Charles Demings did the three cone, but was actually above it at 7.28. Again, they are looking for lower than 7, usually on that three cone. We'll be right back. Those were the ones that had 4 out of 5. 3 out of 5 was Davis and Igbinosin. He had an RAS under 8. He's technically 189, again, just 1 pound off, but had a 707 short shuttle, which is worse. That's not what you're looking for there. He technically is close-ish, but doesn't quite hit what you're looking for. Keith Abney was not at all. He had the RAS under 8. He's only 5'10". He's only 187. Chandler Rivers, only 5'9", 185. We can cross him out. Also, he's just a slot guy. Avian Terrell, 5'10 and a half. So a half inch short, 186 pounds, 4 pounds short, 4'6", 40, right on the edge there. Also didn't do the three cone. Also, I think he's probably gone. He's 26th on the consensus big board. So probably not even there. D'Angelo Pons, he's 5'8 and a half. It's a non-starter completely. I love D'Angelo Pons, by the way. I think he's a true outlier. I think he's going to be really good despite being 5'8". And yes, I see him as an outside corner too. He's just a stud. I love watching him play, but he's not going to be playing in Green Bay. And then Jaden Kennedy from Oregon, or Kennedy, he missed basically everything. The 40 was good, but other than that, he missed everything and is 163 on the big board. So to narrow it down one step further, here's how, based on some of those results, I would say this would come down to for day two. All right. If you're looking to take a corner on day two, the first thing is that Green Bay trades up. In order to get two of these players, I think they're going to have to get to, at minimum, the beginning of the second round. And that's Colton Hood and Chris Johnson. I think any dreams, specifically for Johnson, maybe Hood takes a little bit of a fall, but even that, I'd be pretty surprised by. I think the odds either of them get to 52 are insanely slim. And if I had to bet right now, I bet Chris Johnson goes end of round one, and I bet Hood is either end of round one or very early round two. And if one of them does fall, you know, from 32 to 42 or something like that, you better strike, because it's not going to be much longer. They're not going to make it to 43, 44, 45, anything like that, and certainly not 52. So if Green Bay moves up, Colton Hood, Chris Johnson, very much in the conversation. I really like both. I'd be totally good with Goody moving up for either of those players, but they're going to have to move up, in my opinion, if they want either of the two. And honestly, Chris Johnson, either of them, by the way, could just be out of Green Bay's range. Because as we talked about the other day, even if you package their second, their third, their fourth, and like a sixth all together, but the highest you're getting is pick 28, there's a world in which Johnson and Hood are both gone by pick 28. And so even that might be enough, and there's no way that Goody is mortgaging a second, a third, a fourth, and a sixth, and leaving the team with just a first, you know, two fifths and two sevenths for the rest of the draft. There's just no way. So they both could be gone. I think it's very unlikely that Green Bay ends up with either of these players, which I know pains a lot of you, because a lot of people have been on the Chris Johnson bandwagon for a very long time. I love Chris Johnson as well. I guess what other teams do too, which is why he's probably going to go end of round one. Everything that continues to come up with Chris Johnson is just glowing. Like the holes, it's basically playing at a small school. Like that's it. Everything else is checks every box. It's just small school. That's pretty much the only thing. What if they stay at 52? All right. Well, first of all, if Colton Hood or Chris Johnson are there, probably a no-brainer. I think Goody's probably sprinting to the podium. This could be the classic Green Bay Packer situation where one of those two, especially Chris Johnson, is there, and then it's like a tight end or something, you know, where you're just like, what is happening? Or it's a, you know, defensive end you don't like or whatever the case may be. But I think if either of them are there, I think Goody would be thrilled, and I think they'd probably be the selection. I just don't think they're going to be there. Avion Terrell, if he's at 52, I think Green Bay would at least have a conversation. I actually don't even think they take Avion Terrell if he's there at 52. He's not the type of corner that they like, and he might end up having to be a slot-only guy in the NFL. And again, Green Bay doesn't need that player. I don't think he's going to fit a cover four outside corner the way that Green Bay wants. Now, he's a talented player. The 4.6 40 is certainly concerning, but even if he's there, I think it's unlikely. And then you have Brandon Cissé, who's the other one, who I think if we, again, look at 52, if they actually stick at 52 and the draft generally goes how we kind of expect it to, I think Brandon Cissé is the only sort of realistic player to take at 52. Then you get to pick 84 and Julian Neal, who we talked about, Devin Moore, Dalen Everett, Davidson Igbinosin. I think if he gets to 84, they will strongly consider. I think 52 is going to be a no-go simply because he's not quite meeting the stuff that they normally like. For Igbinosin, you know, they had him as a, or I should say, Brugler had him as like a second, third, you know, type player. And, you know, I think from a consensus standpoint, Igbinosin is at 78th. So a little bit aggressive for pick 52. He could be in play, but certainly if he's there in the third, I think Green Bay would consider him. And maybe Malik Muhammad would be in play. But again, he's about 16 pounds lighter than what they would really, really prefer at that position. So I don't think that's likely either. To take it one step further, here is my sort of final narrow down. Trade up Colton Hood. I guess it's not my narrow down because, like I said, I'm going to get to two players eventually. But if they trade up, it's one of two players, Colton Hood or Chris Johnson. If they stay at 52, I think it's Brandon Cissé. I think that's it. I don't really see another corner at 52. Maybe Igbinosin. That'd probably be the only one. If they trade down from 52 or trade up from 84, I think the most likely is Igbinosin, that they liked him. They didn't like him enough at 52. He was good enough, at least close enough to the thresholds. They didn't think he was going to last there to 84. I think rightfully so. I think he's gone before then. So they either moved down from 52 or they moved up from 84 and took Igbinosin. And if they stay at 84, I think it's one of Julian Neal, Devin Moore, or Dalen Everett. That's it. those are really the seven, but two of those are due to trade up again, Colton Hood or Chris Johnson. So I think you're down to five. Brandon Sissy, Davis and Igbinosin, Julian Neal, Devin Moore, and Dalen Everett. And I think Igbinosin is a little bit more on the no side and sort of in no man's land between their second and third round picks, but not impossible at two, not impossible if they move down in from their second or move up from the third. And if he is there in the third, I think they would very much consider him. So those are my final five. I'm going to give the scouting reports for all five of those. And then when I'm done with the scouting reports, I'm going to narrow it down to the two that I think are most likely. Brandon Sissy, 9.24 relative athletic score. These are just notes, right? They're not a deep dive, kind of like we did with the defensive tackles. It's not. We'll get to the deep dives when we, you know, post draft, right? We'll break down everything to the nth degree. These are just my notes as I watched the player and did a little bit of research, obviously on height, weight, you know, RAS, things like that. 9.24 relative athletic score, didn't do the three cone, had an average short shuttle, 5'11", 1.5", 189 pounds, had a 14.3% missed tackle rate in 2024, only two career interceptions, has a very impressive click and close ability from off coverage, plays in-breaking routes really well, more than willing as a run defender and a tackler. He's very capable of pressing. Wide receivers will get a step on him, but he does have solid makeup speed. Only gave up an 80.4 career quarterback rating and a 78.9 quarterback rating in 2025. Only six career penalties, gave up three touchdowns and two interceptions in his career. Didn't allow more than three completions in any game in his entire career. So never gave up more than three completions and only had one game where he allowed over 100 yards receiving, which was 138 yards against Texas A&M this past season. That's it. He's got length, explosion, and speed. He lacks technical ability. His technical skills need a ton of refinement. Doesn't always feel natural as a pure cover corner, and his ball skills aren't super prevalent, which is indicated by his two career interceptions. I think Sissy is a work in progress. I don't think that you can bring him in and expect him just to immediately beat out either Keyshawn Nixon or Carrington Valentine or honestly Benjamin St. Juste. I think he probably is your fourth corner at best out of the gate. Now, really, really talented, but, you know, and trust me, we know that this is what Green Bay goes for, right? I also will add on top of it, I don't think he's like super freaky enough where it's just like Green Bay has to have him. We'll take the 2 years to develop him because he's so insanely freaky. He doesn't quite have that agility, right? And again, I do think there's some flaws in his overall technique that are just going to take some time to iron out. From a talent standpoint, he's got it all. I don't question that. Again, when you add explosiveness and, you know, I think a little bit of physicality, of the ability to press on the outside if you need to, can play man or zone, he's certainly going to be a possibility. I think he goes in round two. If I'm being honest, I think I'm going to kind of be hoping that he goes before Green Bay at 52 because he's not my favorite corner. I'd be disappointed slightly. I'd be slightly disappointed. I do think he's very talented. You know, it would be a little bit of a tough swallow for me if that was their first pick in this draft at pick 52 was Brandon Sissy. It's one of those where I would just be really hoping for the best, hoping that he does reach that high side of things. He's got good defensive backs coaches, you know, that can certainly help him in Green Bay, but it would be, the productivity was there. The talent's there. Just really going to have to clean up some stuff. But maybe that comes along quicker. And he certainly, again, like I said, is very talented. So I think he's the guy. Again, if they take somebody in round two, I think he is very much the most likely guy. All right, Davis and Igbinosin, 6'2", 189, junior out of Ohio State, 22 years old in April, 33-inch arms, 81.5 PFF grade this past year, was targeted 46 times in coverage, only allowed 22 completions, 47.8% completion percentage for 207 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, five pass breakups, did have five penalties, but only a 42.6 passer rating, had a 6.89 relative athletic score. My notes, very fluid for his size, good click and close, did have eight missed tackles, played left corner, right corner, and in the slot. Very good length, can play man or zone, hit 21.12 miles per hour at the Senior Bowl, leading all players, which is crazy because he's not somebody that you would have expected that from. little bit tight in the hips, needs to rely on using his strength, hands, and size to redirect. Has been grabby throughout his career, but he cleaned it up in 2025. Still a concern. And if you're wondering why, 30 penalties in his career. 30 freaking penalties. Now, again, only five this past year, so that's way better, but 30 penalties in his career. That stuff tends to come back. You know, when you have that tendency, it may not show itself when you're, you know, going against competition that's similar to you. When you get to the NFL and everyone starts being insanely good, what is your tendency going to revert to? You panic a little bit. You start grabbing. I'd be careful of that if you're going to draft Igbinosin. He's a willing run defender. Needs to do a better job of locating the ball in the air. But overall, talented corner. Again, I think he's a little bit in that no man's land between round two and three for Green Bay, so probably would have to move down from two or up from round three. We'll be right back. All right, next up is Julian Neal. All right, corner out of Arkansas, transferred from Fresno State, 6'2", 203, turned 23 in February, 79.5 PFF grade, 70.3 the year before that. Last year, he was targeted 48 times, 27 completions, 56.3% completion percentage, 346 yards, three touchdowns, two picks, eight pass breakups, four penalties, and an 82.5 passer rating. At a 9.27 relative athletic score, did everything and tested again through the roof for exactly what Green Bay looks for. His four top athletic comps per RAS, by the way, Patrick Surtain II, who obviously is a stud for Denver, Antonio Cromartie, Nnamdi Asamoah, was phenomenal when he played, and Jalen Watson, who just got the huge contract this offseason. Those are his top four athletic comps. He's got really good size, good movement for his size, long arms, tremendous upside, good ball skills, little tight in the hips, not the most soothing, silky corner. Will get caught taking the bait a little bit on double moves. He's effective in press, can play left corner, right corner, or a little bit in the slot. Usually does a good job of getting his head turned around. Willing run defender, he's willing to do the dirty work. Hips, again, are a little bit tight. Only one missed tackle. Battles for everything. Just constantly battling, never going to give up on a play. Always trying to knock the ball away, just consistently, regardless of who he's going against, if it's bigger, if it's faster, whatever. He's battling every single play, finds ways to break up the pass consistently. He's aggressive versus wide receiver screens, and he knows how to use his hands without getting penalized, which is a nuance to really good corners games of how to get away with those little tugs and little pulls without actually getting penalized for them. All right, next up, we have, Devin Moore. All right, so Devin Moore, 6'3", 198, great size, turns 23 in October, 83.0 PFF grade this past year, 72.5 the year before that. Had an 8.52 relative athletic score, but did not do the bench press or the agility testing. Was 99th percentile for height, by the way. One of his athletic comps was actually Benjamin St. Juste. Was targeted 30 times this past year, 17 catches, 56.7% completion percentage for 189 yards, two touchdowns, two picks, three pass breakups, no penalties, and a 70.0 rating. Only six career missed tackles, no penalties in the last 2 years, and only two in his career. He's a willing tackler and willing in run defense. Great size for the position. Has struggled with multiple injuries, so you got to make sure that you kind of check that out, and hopefully he's over all of it. Good ball skills, really good instincts. I think he could potentially, later in his career, transition to safety if need be. Had a great chase down for a forced fumble, 8.2% missed tackle percentage in his career, which is, again, good for a corner. Impressive length. I wrote down, I think he skips leg day. His legs just look wiry thin, just remarkably thin, but it doesn't affect him on the field, honestly. Had much better movement skills and change of directions than most corners his size. He's not just this tall, stiff corner. He can move. He can flip those hips a little bit. Should develop into a true press corner if he wants to. Can be utilized against larger wide receivers. Does only have 17 starts in his career due to all those injuries. Needs more snaps to evolve, and lacks that true makeup speed. When he does get beat, but he does make up for it in height and being able to bat away some of those balls. All right, and then the last one, last but not least, is Dalen Everett. 6'1", 190, corner out of Georgia, turns 22 in May, 69.7 PFF grade, targeted 68 times this past year, 38 completions, 55.9% completion percentage, 440 yards given up, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 7 pass breakups, 5 penalties, and an 84.2 rating. Had a 9.89 relative athletic score, but did not do any bench press or the agility testing. His top athletic comp was Marlon Humphrey, the really good corner from the Ravens over the years. Looks the part. He just looks and feels like an SEC corner, and you can tell he's got great experience at Georgia. Can press and can mirror. Use him as a blitzer, and he will come through for you. Outside or inside, he can play a little bit of both. Trigger is a little bit late from time to time. He gets a little bit grabby, but he has 2,400 plus career snaps, more than willing in run support. Smart player with good instinct, started 41 games in his career, has all the tools he needs to be extremely successful, plays under control, there's not much panic to his game, had interceptions in the last 2 SEC title games, so came up huge in big games, and he can play left corner, right corner, or in the slot as well. Those are my scouting notes for those 5 players. I'm going to even, if I were to cut it down to my final 4, I would say Brandon Sissy in the second, or Julian Neal, Dalen Everett, or Devin Moore in the third. And if I had to narrow it down one step further, like I said, to my final 2, third round, Julian Neal or Dalen Everett, those would be, to me, the 2 most likely corners to get taken on day 2 of the draft for the Green Bay Packers. And if you want me to narrow it to 1, I will say Julian Neal. By the way, I know Green Bay has just been Georgia obsessed, but if they're both there, wouldn't stun me if we got an all-Georgia day 2. Kristen Miller in the second, Dalen Everett in the third. If they're both there, there's a very strong chance that we could get an all-Georgia day 2 with Dalen Everett in round 3 and Kristen Miller in round 2, which would be a really good draft, in my opinion. I'd be thrilled that they came away with those 2 players. I think, you know, both of them are going to take a little bit of seasoning. They're not just going to be plug-and-play studs. But I think both of them project as long-term starters for the Packers and 2 players who could come in and help you right away in 2026. Let me know what you think. Who did you like the most? Who are you hoping for on day 2? It's a really interesting group of corners. One last thing to add. I think they could live in round 4 in this draft. I think guys like Will Lee, Dakario Davis, Charles Demings, round 4, round 5, even if they take somebody in round 2, 3, or 4, round 2 or 3, don't be surprised if they find a corner round 4 or 5. There's going to be some good ones that fit what they like right around that time. And if they do fall in love with a player in round 2 and round 3 that's not a corner, I think they can still find a good one in round 4. Charles Demings, by the way, round 4 or 5, I think they're going to really like him. I really like him. Keep that name in your back pocket. Charles Demings. SF Austin is where he played. And he's a really, really fun player. All right, that does it for me. Again, let me know who you're hoping for on day 2 at corner. And if you're hoping for anyone, maybe you're not hoping for anyone at all. And let me know what you thought of me narrowing it down to Julian Neal and or Dalen Everett. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Dave McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelsinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Devin Lane, Richard Morales, Beast Bumblebee, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, Large Charles, Will Glass, Imperium Collectibles, Carlo Delgado, Benjamin Sargent, Jay Stanley, and Allison and Tim Noss. See you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.